Hello, and welcome to the Kate Bush Radio Show, where I get to talk about my absolute favourite subject of all, the songs of Kate Bush. My name is Angela Dennis, and thank you very much for listening. So every episode is centred around a theme, and today's theme is Kate Bush songs which are inspired by literature, stories, poetry, ballads are in there, any kind of literature. Because the thing about Kate Bush is that she takes such vast inspiration. She takes inspiration from so many different areas. And if you don't understand where the songs are coming from, you really, to me, don't understand the full richness of the song. There's so much in the lyrics. There's so much in the choice of the music. There's so much in the emotional background that you might miss. So this song is really for people who, like me, already love Kate Bush and just can't wait to talk about her and her songs. And for people who perhaps don't know so much about Kate Bush, who have heard some of her songs, but perhaps have found some of them a bit opaque, couldn't understand everything that was going on, so perhaps abandoned listening to the rest of her songs. To you, if you're listening, welcome. I hope to introduce some wonderful songs to you and help you appreciate Kate Bush's body of work. So let's start with a song which was on her first album. And no, I'm not going to choose Wuthering Heights just yet. Instead, I'm going to choose the title track of that first album, The Kick Inside, which is based on a ballad called The Ballad of Lizzie One. It's one of those old 17th, 18th century Scottish or English ballads, which was published in a collection of ballads by a man named Francis James Child in the late 19th century. And this collection was of a huge variety of Child ballads, 305 ballads. And the name of the collection was The English and Scottish Popular Ballads. So if you're interested in looking up more about ballads, you'll find it there. And the name of the ballad is The Ballad of Lizzie One, and it's about a young girl who is raped by her brother, or perhaps they have an incestuous relationship, and she falls pregnant, and she ultimately decides to kill herself to spare her brother family punishment and shame. And there are other versions in which young Lizzie is killed by her brother. And Kate Bush has taken this ballad and turned it into a beautiful love letter, a beautiful suicide note from the young Lizzie expressing her love for her brother and her willingness to go to God, her memories of childhood. She says, "You and me on the bobbing knee, didn't we cry at that old mythology he'd read?" It's such a beautiful suicide note. And ultimately, the song is about a heavy sacrifice borne by a young girl. That's the emotional core of the song, and it's utterly beautiful. Especially that last line. "I will come home again, but not until the sun and the moon meet on yon hill." Here is the kick inside.
Giving it all in a moment.
were. Now, The Kick Inside was released when Kate Bush was 19 years old. And can you imagine many teenagers being able to, or wanting to, put their mind in the position of a girl about to commit suicide because she's been raped by her brother? I mean, the depth of feeling that Kate Bush must have had, the depth of creative imagination, it's really, really inspiring and amazing. So it says a lot about how wonderful she is as an artist. Now, let's move on to something which Kate Bush wrote a lot later in life. So The Kick Inside was released in 1978. We're jumping ahead now to 1989, and we're going to listen to a song from the album The Sensual World. The Sensual World. And it's a perfect name for the album and a perfect name for the song, because this song is about stepping out of the pages of a book and feeling the wind on your face, feeling the rain on your hair, feeling the touch of skin across your hand, feeling a kiss, smelling a flower. It's about senses. And in this song, Kate Bush takes the character of Molly Bloom from James Joyce's novel Ulysses and reimagines her coming out of the pages of the book and experiencing the real world, the world which we live in, you and I. And through the character of Molly Bloom, you and I are able to renew our appreciation for that real world which we experience every day. But we ignore the wind on our hair, and we ignore the smell of a rose, we've smelt it before, the gravel under our feet. Through the device of a fictional character stepping out of the page, Kate Bush, in this next song, is able to show us once again the rich sensuality of the world that we live in. Now, just a bit of background. Molly Bloom is a character from the book Ulysses, and she has a soliloquy at the end of that book, which is really an inner monologue. And it's a rather long inner monologue. And what happened is that Kate Bush realized that Molly Bloom's soliloquy fitted perfectly a piece of music which she'd already written. So she asked the estate of James Joyce whether or not they would permit her to use the soliloquy and just directly place that over the music as the lyric. And the James Joyce estate refused. So that's when Kate came up with the idea of Molly Bloom stepping out of the page and into the real world. And if you read that soliloquy, you'll realize that Molly herself is already a very sensual woman. She's already a woman who has a lot of lust and a lot of imagination and a lot of feeling and a lot of guts and a lot of ballsy frankness. So you can imagine, stepping out of the page, how Molly Bloom would experience the three-dimensional richness of the world in which we live. So with that in mind, I hope you can all reawaken your senses by listening to The Sensual World from the album The Sensual World.
Oh,
I have just returned from dancing around the room, which I encourage you to do, and especially if you watch the video clip of Kate Bush as Molly Bloom, strutting, freely expressing herself in the forest, just feeling the wind and feeling the fresh air. You'll be inspired to get up and dance too. And as she sings, yes, you... Well, first of all, that's from the soliloquy by Molly Bloom. You'll notice she says, yes, yes, it's this affirmation. But also, James Joyce himself said that yes was the female word. Isn't that interesting? Yes is the female word. So there's this sense of affirmation, of an unqualified yes to the universe. So next time you listen to that song, get up and feel that wind in your face. Okay. The next song. The next song we're going to play is from Kate Bush's hit album, amazing album, my absolute favourite, Hounds of Love. And the song is called Cloud Busting. Now, Cloud Busting is based on a book which is autobiographical by a young man named Peter Reich. And it was an account of his childhood. Now, what was so interesting about this young man's childhood, Peter Reich, was that he was the son of the famous psychoanalyst, Wilhelm Reich. And the special thing about Wilhelm Reich was that he had some very controversial theories about the world, one of which was that the primal source of energy in the world was a substance called orgone. And orgone was so called because it was the same energy which caused orgasm. It's a sort of, to Wilhelm Reich, orgone was a sort of primordial cosmic energy. And if you could harness this orgone, you could heal yourself. And he also thought it was closely associated with the weather, with gravity, with the formation of galaxies, and various other things. And what he did, of course, after he created this theory about orgone, was he created these boxes which you could sit in, which he called orgone accumulators. You could sit in them and absorb orgone. That was the idea. And of course, many people, as they always do, looking for help, looking for healing, looking for some other medical alternative, would sit in these boxes and absorb this orgone, as he said. Now, the US Food and Drug Administration rather didn't like this idea because they said it was entirely unfounded and it was complete quackery. So, ultimately, all of these orgone accumulators were destroyed, and sadly, Wilhelm Reich was placed in jail, eventually, where he died. So, Peter Reich's childhood was unlike any kind of childhood that you or I would ever have come into contact with. It was a childhood of fantastic apparent truths, of a dynamic father figure who was brilliant and appeared to know it all. And it was a very freeing childhood in a way that you or I would never have experienced. It was a childhood in which things, magical things, were possible. Aliens were visiting. And Peter Reich is adamant in his autobiography that, yes, they did see aliens or UFOs. So it's a world in which the power of imagination intersects with reality to the point where one is left wondering whether or not we have some power over the external reality. It's quite fascinating, and I encourage you, if you can, to obtain this book, The Book of Dreams. Now, one of Wilhelm Reich's marvellous inventions to do with orgone was called a cloud buster. And what was supposed to happen was you would direct this big machine towards a cloud and turn it on, and it would make it rain. Sounds far-fetched, huh? But apparently, according to Peter Reich, it was tested and it worked. And apparently, Wilhelm Reich was commissioned to take this thing around and make it rain occasionally, and it apparently worked. Now, I don't know, but there you go. So the Cloudbuster, that is the inspiration for the following song, Cloudbusting. This amazing machine which could, when directed towards a cloud, make it rain. The song isn't just about the Cloudbuster, though. It's about childhood. It's about memories. It's about a son who lost his father at a young age. A dynamic father. A father unlike any other father. And in losing his father, lost his world. Then had to join us in the quote-unquote real world. So you have these dreams, these memories, which crop up in this song about the father being taken away, about danger and dangerous secrets, which Peter Reich had to bury for his own safety. You're like my yo-yo that glowed in the dark. What made it special made it dangerous. So I buried it and forget. Now that's a reference to something which came up in Peter Reich's autobiography, where he's talking about having a yo-yo that could glow in the dark. And his father Wilhelm said, no, you must bury that because it may interfere with the orgone energy. So like the dangerous yo-yo, his memory of his father had become a danger. His knowledge of his father's theories, of his father's practice, of his father's beliefs had become a danger to him, so he buried it very deeply. But of course, you bury something deep enough in your psyche, it's going to come out. There's some beautiful things in this song, and it's one of those songs that really you need to listen to over and over again to get its richness. And luckily, it's a beautiful song, and it's the kind of thing you want to listen to over and over again. Listen for a few references, okay? I still dream of Organon. That's the first line. And Organon, of course, is the name of the place that Wilhelm Reich lived in Maine, which he turned into a sort of a research laboratory and an observatory. Okay, it was called Organon. And that's where the young Peter grew up. That's where he spent his youth, in this parallel universe where different rules applied. Listen as well for the way in which Kate weaves the theme of sun and rain throughout the song as a metaphor for hope and recovery. Every time it rains, you're here in my head, like the sun coming out. I just know that something good is going to happen. Here is Cloud Busting.
I still dream of Organon. I wake up crying. You're making rain, and you're just in. My yo-yo that glowed in the dark.
Now that was one of my absolute favourite songs. And after you've listened to that a few times and created the pictures in your mind, watch the video clip, because the video clip is marvellous. It shows Kate Bush playing the young Peter Reich and Wilhelm Reich played by Donald Sutherland, no less. And what happens in the video clip is that Donald Sutherland's character, Wilhelm Reich, is taken away by the men in coats to prison, to interrogation. And as he's bundled into the car, through the window, he gestures to his son, Peter, played by Kate Bush, up to the Cloudbuster. And so she runs up to the Cloudbuster and heaves one of the handles and then heaves the other handle, and out comes this huge cloud of orgone energy and busts open a cloud and it starts to rain. So there's this amazing moment of Wilhelm Reich's being taken away in the car off to uncertain fate. But he's been vindicated. His machine works, his theory is correct, and it's raining all over this black car that's taking him away. It's really wonderful. It's directed by Terry Gilliam, who did Baron Munchausen, you might remember. So that's Cloud Busting. The next song inspired by literature is Get Out of My House. Get Out of My House appeared on the Dreaming album, and it is inspired by the book The Shining by Stephen King, which also was made into a movie starring Jack Nicholson. You'd remember that. And in the book, a family go and move into this house, and the house is somehow possessed, and it twists the father into killing, trying to kill his own family. So Kate has taken this idea of Stephen King's and changed it herself so that the house becomes a metaphor for a woman whose lover has left her, and she's closed herself down to any other intruders. No one else is getting in. But then another lover approaches, puts himself forward, and she tries to flee, and the way she tries to flee is by transforming. And she transforms into various different creatures, eventually transforming into a donkey. And it finishes off with this ee-aw, ee-aw, ee-aw. So, listen out for that. Here is Get Out of My House.
In the doorway, it's the way someone stole you away. I watched the world pull you away. So I run to the hall, into the corridor. There's a door in the house. I hear the lift descending. I hear it hit the landing. I see the house and the cat standing with my key.
Strangest thing.
face. I clean the stairs.
If you've heard of a traditional ballad called The Two Magicians, you might recognize that theme of transformation, because that's where Kate got the idea of having a seducer who kept transforming and then a woman who kept transforming to try and get away. It's called The Two Magicians. And that's a very good song to be played loud, especially if you're feeling like there's someone in your life you want to get rid of, or If you've recently had a breakup. I certainly can identify with that feeling of having let someone in too deeply and then wanting to just shut up shop and not let anybody in until I can just sort myself out. I don't think it's just women that feel that way, but perhaps it is more of a female phenomenon. Now, what is the song that you absolutely could listen to forever and ever and never get tired of? What is the song which, for you, when you first heard it, made your ears prick up and you just had to know who sang it? And what is the song which seeped into your dreams and became distorted and you caught yourself humming it as you walked along, but you didn't quite know the words, but you just knew it was special? This next song is that for me, and for many, many, many other people, and probably for you. And for some of you, it might be the only Kate Bush song you know, but it doesn't matter because it's amazing. And that song is Wuthering Heights, of course. The quintessential Kate Bush song inspired by literature, inspired by that amazing Emily Bronte book about the tumultuous, complex relationship between Kathy and Heathcliff, which ends in a world of hurt, but of course the whole thing is a world of hurt. It's dark, it's needy, is tormented. And all of that feeling goes into Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights, all of it. She takes the book, as wonderful as it is, its sweetness and its hurt and its harshness, and puts all of that into her song. That is one of the amazing gifts of Kate Bush, because she can transform the emotional truth of something out of one medium, like a story, and into another, a song. Okay, so we probably all know the story. She wrote it as a teenager, after not reading the book, but after seeing a snippet of a movie version of Wuthering Heights, in which Kathy is the ghost, is scraping at the window, trying to get in. Heathcliff, let me in, let me in. It's Kathy, it's your Kathy. She saw that snippet, and it inspired her. She sat in front of the piano, a teenager, and composed that amazing piece of music which we know today, and which, when released, shot up the charts internationally and made her the first female British artist to be at number one on the charts with her own piece of music. A real achievement. And of course, it almost wasn't to be that way, because EMI wanted to release James and the Cold Gun as the first single on the Kick Inside. But Kate Bush, young as she was, inexperienced in the music business as she was, she knew what she wanted. She knew that Wuthering Heights had to be released first, and it was the best decision, because that placed her in the imaginations of people, in my view, much more than James and the Cold Gun could have. It placed her in their imaginations, and people still associate Kate with Kathy, with the ghost, because she embodies it so beautifully, her ethereal voice, ghostly in and of itself, reaching those heights. And yet its carnality, I need you, I want you, I let me in, let me in. There's a desperate, ghostly, womanly harshness to her. And now I'm going to stop talking about it, because I could go on forever, and I just want you to listen to it and love it. Here is Wuthering Heights.
Ooh, it gets down.
And that was Wuthering Heights from The Kick Inside. Not a song which you should try at karaoke, I would recommend. Although there apparently is floating around on YouTube somewhere a video of me doing the dance routine to that song. Although I can neither confirm nor deny that, I'm afraid. I'll just mention one more thing about Wuthering Heights. You will have noticed that amazing guitar solo at the end. Well, that was played by Dave Gilmour of Pink Floyd, and he's generally credited with having discovered Kate. He recognized her talent and gave her the financial and support and connections to help her get her big start in the music industry. So that's him playing that last guitar solo. So that brings us to the end of our little examination of Kate Bush songs inspired by literature. This has been my first podcast episode, and thank you very much for listening in. I'll be continuing these podcasts around different themes, and if you've enjoyed today's episode, please give me some feedback on my blog, which will be www.katebushradioshow.wordpress.com. Feel free to give me some feedback, some thoughts, corrections, ideas that you might have for themes. I've got a few ideas myself, but I'd love to hear some more. Lastly, if you're new to Kate Bush's music, I encourage you to not be satisfied with just what you've heard tonight. Go buy her albums and go onto iTunes and find the songs that we've played, buy them and listen to them over and over and over. And you'll find that every time you do listen, they become richer and richer and richer, and much more is revealed. That's just the wonder of Kate Bush's music. So thank you very much for listening to the Kate Bush Radio Show. My name's Angela Dennis, and I look forward to joining you next episode. Bye. And you, huh? You do, huh? We let it in, we give it out. What's it all about?